Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Later in the show, have you ever been tempted to prolong the joy of your summer holiday by bringing plants home with you? But first, St Albans man Jack Brooks has just broken an amazing marathon record. He's older than you might expect for someone achieving athletics feat, and he has chosen to be vegetarian. I spoke to Jack to find out more. Jack, thank you so much for joining me, particularly as you're still obviously jet-lagged from your last great marathon. So just explain to us about your latest great achievement.
Well, I've just finished completing a marathon in all 50 states and DC and in all the 13 Canadian provinces and territories. The last marathon was in Nunavut, which is like the edge of the world. It really is.
Wow. So you left the most exciting one till last, by the sounds of it.
The most expensive one till last, really.
Okay. And Jack, just explain, why is that such a special achievement, running all of those marathons?
Well, firstly, I'm the first person in the UK, as far as I'm aware, to have done it. Second, the logistic problems have been huge. There have been the occasional one that I've booked and then I've been injured and not been able to run and had to go back.
And how long has this taken you, actually, Jack?
26 years, pretty much.
Still an amazing... So how many marathons is that in all that you've had to do to achieve that?
Including ultras, I've done 460 now.
Right.
And of those, about 12 are ultras.
Right, OK. And Jack, I hope you won't mind me just saying, how old are you?
I'm 66.
You're 66. You can't see there, but Jack looks fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Do you know, Jack, I thought you were about 55. And what amazing physical achievements. But as you say, it's not just been that, has it? You've organised all of the logistics yourself. Give us just a bit of an idea about what your schedule might be like. You know, you're running miles, all these flights, trying to fit sleep so you're ready for your marathons and things.
Well, I guess in a typical year, I'm maybe running about 30, 32 marathons. Of those, probably 10 or 12 will be abroad. For example, this year I started off in January in Phoenix in Arizona. I've been to Ibiza. I've just done Tromso about 5 weeks ago and then Nunavut last week. Coming up, I've got another two races in America. I've got one in Belgium next month and I've got one in France the month after.
So these are all quite close together, not an immense amount of time for recovery. This has obviously been very tough on your body.
It is, but I think you run accordingly, and especially in the current weather when you're having to be very careful about not going off too fast because it's just been so hot.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. So some listeners might be surprised to hear that you are vegetarian. So, Jack, tell us how long you've been vegetarian for.
Well, after a brief period when I was a student, I really became fully vegetarian at the age of about 40. So I've been vegetarian about 26 years.
And why did you choose to be vegetarian originally?
Well, I'd already started to eat less and less meat, and I don't particularly like fish anyway. It sort of crept up on me, really. And when I did stop eventually, it just seemed so easy. And yep. There is such a variety of food, and it's got better every year since I stopped.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just for simplicity, or did you have any ethical reasons for giving up?
I'm not keen on the animal thing. I'd rather see them live and running around than on my plate.
Yeah.
So that was certainly at the beginning the major factor, but other factors have come in. You know, I think environmentally it just doesn't make sense to be farming animals when, you know, crops will produce that much more for that many more people.
Yeah. I mean, Jack, your diet must be very important to you so that you can maintain your performance. What do you eat to ensure that you recover quickly, ready for your next marathon?
I've always eaten quite a lot of pasta, beans, lentils. It sort of comes naturally. I live on my own now, so when I do cook, I tend to sort of cook for about 4 or 5 days and then freeze a few meals. Before a race, I'll normally eat pasta or maybe pizza. Generally, though, I try and keep a balanced diet. I probably eat a bit too much cheese, but...
Jack, it doesn't look as though it's done you any harm. to be fun. I mean, some people are worried that they don't get enough protein. I mean, protein must actually be very important to you, given that you have to recover from your marathons quite quickly. So you've mentioned beans and cheese there. Do you ever think you've got a problem with getting enough protein?
Not really. I think so long as you have a mixture of things, nuts as well... I think you're no worse off than anyone who's eating meat, probably better off in terms of health.
Yeah, OK. Now, you've mentioned that you've done all of these marathons over the Atlantic, and the average meat consumption in the US and Canada, I believe, is even higher there than it is here. How easy do you find it to get vegetarian food in Canada and the US?
Well, when I first went over, it was quite difficult. Recently, I've found it's been getting better. In fact, a friend of mine is vegan, and he actually works in a vegan factory in the Midwest, which is amazing. I didn't realise that they got one.
So you've noticed real changes, actually, in America?
I've noticed some change. I mean, their food is still very meat-based. I mean, for example, you ask for macaroni cheese and it will always come with bacon or ham sort of put in.
Oh, really? That's a bit weird.
which is very strange.
Yes.
But generally, it's got easier to get vegetarian food.
Well, that's great then, isn't it? So, Jack, it sounds like it's just more of the same for you then. It doesn't sound like you're planning to hang up your running shoes anytime soon.
I've got a few irons in the fire. I've done 92 marathons in the USA, so it'd be nice to get to 100. But in the main, I'm just going to now concentrate on doing ones that I enjoy and trying to do different races. I like actually going and doing a race where I don't know what the course is like.
Right.
There are a few favourites that I'll maybe go back to, especially locally, but... I do like sort of running ones that I've not done before.
Fantastic. Well, that is a fabulous story, Jack. We wish you all the best with your future athletic achievements. Thank you very much indeed for joining me.
A pleasure.
Oh, what an amazing man, Jack Brooks. So modest and living proof, if you need it, that a vegetarian diet is not just good for the planet, but no bar to you being super healthy too. Well, so many of our holiday destinations are characterised by the plants growing there. Olive trees in Tuscany, lavender in Provence, cacti in Tenerife, for just a few examples. And what could be more lovely than bringing plants home to prolong that holiday feeling? But is it such a good idea? I spoke to Marcus Cousins of Aylett's Nurseries to find out. So, Marcus, thank you for joining me. So, isn't it a lovely idea to bring plants back from holiday with you?
It would be a lovely idea to bring plants back from holiday, but the real answer is you shouldn't.
And why is that?
There is plenty of diseases around in Europe, in the world, that aren't necessarily in the UK.
Right.
So don't bring your plants back and be the person that brings diseases back.
You'd feel pretty bad, wouldn't you? So what kind of diseases are particularly at the front of people like you's minds at the moment?
Probably one of the most serious ones is Zeolia fastidiosa, which is a disease that affects olives, and it is taking out olives in Italy, southern Italy, where it's devastating their income.
Yes.
Because it is literally taking out olives that are years, hundreds of years old.
Oh dear, not nice. And is it just olives that it affects?
No, the thing about this disease, as far as we're all aware, it will affect around about 150 different host plants. And as a gardener, you will probably have most of those host plants in your garden. It's some of the very, very common ones, like lavenders and hebe and rosemary.
All right, so lots of things that we really do love then.
That you really, really love, and it's definitely not one we want affecting.
I've found in so many of our gardens as well. Okay, so that's pretty serious then, isn't it? But how about if we were to, perhaps, say we were down in Italy and we went into an Italian garden centre and bought an olive tree there, would that be okay?
Personally, I'd say no. I honestly, as a keen horticulturalist for many, many years, believe that we should rely on importers to bring the stock in that has been checked and verified that is 100% clean of all sorts of diseases, not just Zayella, but other pests, and not bring it in yourself when you come back from your sunny trip to Italy, as you say.
So, obviously, quite a lot of the plants that we buy in garden centres, like aloes, they are grown abroad, aren't they? But from what you're saying, they're checked, are they?
So, at Aylett's, you know, we are one of the top garden centres in the country, and 20% of our stock comes out of Europe or right as far down as northern Italy. And we buy from reputable suppliers, so we understand where the stock is coming from. The stock will have gone through a quarantine process. It will have had a plant passport attached to it, which is very, very important, which is a thing that is right across Europe for certain species of plants. It's not everything, it's certain species of plants. It will sometimes get quarantined in the UK as well, so there are certain nurseries that bring the stuff in under plant health. It's then asked to be quarantined for 6 months and then moved out into retail sites.
Right.
So what we can guarantee is we buy from the reputable suppliers and we have full traceability, and that's the important thing.
Okay,
if you came in and asked, I could tell you any plant, where it's come from and how it's got to us.
So there really is a big difference between buying in a garden centre in Italy and buying from a garden centre like yours in this country.
Very much so. They will have the traceability, but they'll only have traceability within their own areas or regions. So it is very important that you should not bring product back, not bring it in through our customs and ports, but, you know, buy it from reputable retailers in the UK.
Right, okay. So how about seeds? How about if we were to bring seeds back from abroad?
Seeds are the same. You know, there is diseases that can be sitting in a seed. You can see pests, you can see diseases on plants that don't look too healthy, but seeds can contain diseases, and really you shouldn't bring it back into the UK if you're not 100% comfortable.
Right, okay. So that might seem like a bit of a shame, but as you say, you would feel pretty bad if you were the person responsible for bringing the Zayella into this country.
You would, because especially Zayella, it's not in the UK, and there is very, very strict controls that have been set by Europe and the government.
Yes.
If we have an outbreak of it in the UK.
Right, okay then. So you mentioned there that about 20% of the plants that Aylett sells are imported, but you actually do grow quite a lot of the plants on site, don't you?
We do. We grow a considerable amount of stock as well, and that's really because we have full traceability of where the plants come from, and we can control the quality that we grow, which is very, very important, and then offer to the customer an ultimate grade A plant.
A UK grown plant definitely won't be importing any of these nasty diseases, albeit inadvertently, from abroad.
Definitely, and we grow plants also have to be inspected by our plant health officers of the UK, and poinsettias is probably the classic. We grow nearly 4,000 poinsettias at Christmas time, and we have them inspected 3 times in their growing period, and we've just potted the first batch by government plant health inspectors to make sure they are clean and they don't have any diseases, because they are young cuttings that have come from mother plants within the UK in some cases, Germany in other cases, but they have full traceability.
Okay, so that might come as a surprise to some listeners. It certainly did to me. You're already starting on the Christmas trade and the plants we want to buy around then already.
We are. We've potted our first poinsettia crop 3 weeks ago now.
Wow, well and truly on top
ready
of that
to
one
be
then.
Ready for the middle of end of November.
Well, that's good to know then. So how about if we are coming back from holiday and we did love those lavenders in Provence, or we did love those olive trees in Italy? Better perhaps to come to the. Do you have those sort of things in stock?
Come to a good reputable retailer We do have a vast range of different varieties of lavenders grown within the UK.
Yes.
And what we can guarantee is we've inspected them. Our plant buying team make a conscious effort that we should go to every nursery supplier, to our retailer, at least once a year.
Okay.
So we've seen them growing on their sites, whether it be Yorkshire, Norfolk, Hampshire, yeah, Worcestershire. It's all about accountability.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing about buying something in the UK is that it's more suited for our climate here as well. If you buy something abroad, that's where it's suited for.
Very much so. And I know we're going through a fantastic heat wave at the moment, but there is a climate change out there, and it is important that the plants are.
Yes, indeed. Well, talking about the heat wave, just before we finish, just a little bit of advice to us. I don't know about you, my garden is looking like the St. Albans Sahara at the moment. Very tempting to get the sprinkler on the grass. Is that a good idea?
No, the water's a commodity at the moment, and we should all conserve it, because we've seen the rivers, they are bubbling at trickles, aren't they? And, you know, the grass will always recover. Most grass looks pretty dead, but I think I can put my hand on my heart and say that will come back. So if you're going to water your plants, use recycled water from your washing up or from your bath. But if you're going to use mains, just sparingly, but just look after your tubs and baskets maybe that are around the patio.
Good advice there.
And your vegetables.
Lovely. Marcus, thank you very much indeed. And I was talking there to Marcus Cousins of Aylett's Nurseries. Now, lots of you already listened to Environment Matters podcast. You can listen now to any edition of Environment Matters by going to www.radioverulam.com/podcast. And you can also subscribe to the weekly Environment Matters podcast through your favourite podcast provider. Remember to follow me on Twitter at @RV_environment. We're on Facebook too. And do drop me a line on Amanda@radioverulam.com if you've got a comment about the show or any ideas that you would like us to cover. I'll be back at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.